thank you for coming to this year's brief but very, very honorable Memorial Day ceremonies. It is well of us to remember that Memorial Day got its beginning in 1868 after the Civil War ended, when families of Union soldiers would go and decorate the graves of those who fell in battle. After World War I, it was expanded to honor all those who laid their life on the altar of freedom. After an act of Congress in 1968, it was ordered that we observe Memorial Day on the last Monday in May. Ladies and gentlemen, Chaplain Bales will now give our invocation.
Please pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, on this Memorial Day, we pause to reflect upon the blessings as a nation and the high cost of those blessings. Thank you, Father, for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, for the opportunities to flourish, and the security of our land. Thank you for those who have served in our armed forces in our nation, risking their lives for our liberty. Thank you for those who have given their lives in service to this country, sacrificing in such a costly way for others. And thank you for those who have given their lives so that those who live in other countries might experience freedom from tyranny. Thank you for a day set apart, not just for celebration, but also for remembrance as we consider the sacrifice of so many in our military. Lord, may we be more aware of those blessings and just how blessed we are as a nation. May we be more grateful for our blessings, more faithful in our stewardship of these blessings, and more eager to share them with others. We pray for those, for the families and friends of those who have given their lives in service to our nation. May they be comforted in their sadness. May they be reassured that the sacrifice of their loved ones contributes to a worthy cause. May they be proud of those who they have lost, entrusting them into your gracious hands. Even as we remember those who have given their lives in the past, we also think of those who stand in harm's way at this very moment. We entrust them into your gracious hands. We pray, Father, that you would bring them home safely. And finally, Lord, we pray for that day when there will be no need for our brave men and women to place themselves in harm's way. We long for that day when people beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they war anymore. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Chaplain. In Flanders Field, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below, we are the dead short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Field. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from falling hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break with faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders Field. Ladies and gentlemen, as we look across this great country, there are many monuments out there. And there are some great ones that are made of granite. Some are very large in their design. But for us veterans, we like just a simple monument. And it is as simple as the battlefield cross. A rifle with a fixed bayonet, signifying that the soldier went down fighting. The boots at the base of the rifle signify the soldier's last march into battle is complete. The helmet and dog tags signify the soldier's identity and that they are now absent from this world. In olden times, this was used to mark where the dead fell on the battlefield so they could be collected for burial. Today, it is used as a final salute and a place for the living to grieve their fallen comrade. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I have the extreme honor and pleasure to introduce to you our guest speaker today, Major James Allen. He is a veteran of the United States Army National Guard and the United States Army Reserve. Major Allen commissioned as a medical specialist in 2003. He served in the South Dakota National Guard Medical Detachment before transferring to Mississippi in 2005, where he served as the squadron surgeon for the 1st of the 114th Field Artillery. In 2008, he transferred to Nebraska and joined the 1/134th Cavalry Squadron as their senior medical officer. He is deployed to Afghanistan in support of Operation Enduring Freedom from 2010 to 2011, where he was promoted to major. He later served with the Nebraska Medical Command and the 530th Military Police Battalion as the battalion medical officer until his separation in 2023. In his civilian career, Major Allen has worked as a medical provider in family practice, emergency medicine, and orthopedic surgery. And since 2009, he has owned and operated a successful urgent care clinic here in McCook, Nebraska. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Major James Allen.
Short. Ladies and gentlemen, fellow veterans, friends and family of the American Legion, today we gather not just to remember the fallen, but to stand in awe of what they gave us. We stand here in 2026, the year America turns 250 years old. 250 years since a handful of brave men in Philadelphia pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to the radical idea that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with unalienable rights. Many of those founders openly acknowledged the providence of God, believing that this bold experiment was not simply the work of human hands, but it was guided and blessed by divine providence. Liberty wasn't guaranteed on July 4th, 1776. It was purchased with blood on battlefields from Bunker Hill to Yorktown. And that same story of sacrifice has been repeated through every generation since. I want to take you back to the powerful beginnings of what we now call Memorial Day. In the spring of 1865, just weeks after General Robert E. Lee surrendered and the Civil War ended, the city of Charleston, South Carolina, laid in ruins. A former slaveholder's racetrack, the Washington Racecourse, had been used by the Confederacy as a prisoner of war camp. More than 250 Union soldiers had died there from disease and exposure, and they were buried in a shallow mass grave. A group of formerly enslaved men and women, along with some missionaries and teachers, decided that these men deserved better. For nearly 2 weeks, they labored to dig up the bodies and rebury them in individual graves and build a tall white fence around the cemetery. They placed a beautiful arch over the entrance that read, "Martyrs of the Race Course." Then on May 1st, 1865, they held a procession the likes of which that city had never seen. Nearly 10,000 people, mostly freed black Americans, gathered. 3,000 school children led the parade, carrying armloads of flowers and singing. Hundreds of women followed with baskets of roses, wreaths, and crosses. Ministers preached, Union soldiers marched, and together they all decorated those graves with flowers. They did this in gratitude to the men and women who died so they could be free. That profound act of thanksgiving from people who had only recently known chains was widely recognized as one of the very first Memorial Day observances. Just 3 years later, in 1868, General John A. Logan, commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, issued General Order No. 11. He declared on May 30th a day for the whole nation to decorate the graves of the fallen with flowers or otherwise. He wanted every American, North and South, to pause and remember those who had given their last full measure of devotion. And Decoration Day eventually became known as Memorial Day, growing to honor the dead from every conflict that followed. So why do we continue to do this? Well, the reason is because freedom is expensive. The bill has always been paid by the best among us. Think about what these men and women believed. They believed this experiment in self-governance was worth dying for. They believed that a nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal was something worth defending across oceans and generations. They weren't fighting for a perfect country. America has never been perfect. But they were fighting for a country that was worth perfecting. A country where ordinary people could live free, speak their minds, worship God, and raise their families, pursuing happiness, which has changed the world. That is the inheritance we enjoy today. As a veteran myself who was deployed to Afghanistan, I've seen what sacrifice looks like up close. I've served alongside men and women who left their families behind, who endured hardship, who answered the call when duty demanded it. Some of them did not come home. Their names are etched in our hearts and on memorials across this land. Yet, standing here today, I'm filled with not only sorrow, but with profound gratitude. Gratitude for the 18-year-old kid who stormed Normandy Beach, for the Marine who raised the flag on Iwo Jima, and gratitude for the soldier in the mountains of Afghanistan who ran towards the fight so his brothers could live. Gratitude for every man and woman who looked death in the eye and said, "Take me instead of the person behind me." That spirit, that courage, selflessness, love of country is the American spirit. This 250th anniversary year is not just a birthday party. It's a moment to ask ourselves, are we worthy of their sacrifice? Will we hand the next generation to a country that still believes in God, that believes in liberty, responsibility, gratitude, and virtue? The answer starts with how we live today. It starts with teaching our children the true history, not the sanitized or cynical version, but the real story of flawed people who built something extraordinary. It starts with living a life of virtue, staying engaged in our communities, voting, serving, and refusing to take this republic for granted. To the Gold Star families here today, we see you. Your loved one's sacrifice is not forgotten. Their lives were not wasted. Because of them, America still stands as a beacon of hope in a troubled world. To all of us, let us leave here today and live our lives worthy of that gift. Hug your kids tighter. Say a prayer for thanks. Treat your neighbor with kindness. And never, ever let apathy or division separate us or dishonor what so many have died to protect. As President Reagan once reminded us, freedom is never more than a generation away from extinction. We must teach our children and remind ourselves what these heroes knew in their bones, that liberty is precious, that it requires vigilance, and that some things are worth dying for so others may live free. Today we decorate graves, fly our flags, and bow our heads, but the greatest tribute we can give is to live as free Americans, grateful, courageous, and united in the defense of this great republic. May God bless our fallen heroes. May God bless their families. And may God continue to bless the United States of America. Thank you.
thank you, sir, for those absolutely wonderful remarks. Kind of gets you a little bit in the feelers. Ladies and gentlemen, and my fellow Americans, we must remember Memorial Day was never meant to just be a long weekend. It is a sacred pause, a moment to remember that freedom has always cost somebody something. The silence at the dinner table where a seat never got filled again. The folded flag pressed into trembling hands. Wedding rings still worn by widows decades later. Dog tags tucked into old wooden boxes. Parents who kissed their children goodbye one last time without knowing it would be the last. Memorial Day is not about those of us who stand up here and serve. It is not about any of us standing back here. Is it about those that never made it home? It's about those who gave the last full measure of devotion to our country, giving up birthdays, anniversaries, future grandchildren, quiet mornings, an ordinary Tuesday, and all the things that we do every day, they gave up for a country they believed was worth fighting for. As our nation commemorates this Memorial Day, may we each take a moment to honor the fallen, remember the brave, and reflect on the high cost of the precious freedom that so many take for granted. Chaplain Bales will now give our benediction.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here, for your loving arms that surround and wrap around those families who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Thank you, Father, for the men and women who dedicate themselves to service of this country. We are grateful for each one of them. May we always remember the great sacrifice and live a life that is worthy of their service. We pray this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of American Legion, Chris Hansen, Post 203, and Bernard Ebert, Veterans of Four Wars, Post 1652, thank you for being here today. As we go out into the world, let this day be blessed with the bold colors of red, white, and blue, and let us all be damn proud to be Americans. May the good Lord continue to bless you, and may God continue to bless the United States of America. Thank you.